Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, good evening. I want to thank everybody for tuning in into Bible Basic Instructions Before Leaving Earth. So I want to thank everybody for tuning in to the show. At this time, we'll bring in the host of the show, Brother Robin.
So, Brother Robin's here. Good evening, and welcome to Open Forum, a Bible study program where you can call in and get Bible answers to all your Bible questions. This program is broadcast every Thursday from 7:30 to 8:30. We invite you to tune in for all your Bible questions and answers. We are also in cooperation with the Darren Luke Congregation. I'm the minister at the Church of Christ in Worcester, Texas. And we're also in cooperation with the Darren Luke Congregation in Houston, with Brother L.C. Lewis Parker before. The local minister, also Brother Parker, Brother Brown, there with us. We thank you for tuning in, and we were thankful to God for the opportunity to share in His holy and divine book, the Bible. Brother Parker, are you there? Brother Parker, are you there?
Oh no, sir, he's not on yet.
Not on yet. But I'm still on, Brother Brown. It's a pleasure to hear from you today. It's a pleasure
yes,
to hear
sir,
from
I'm
you.
Going-
Yes.
Oh, yes, sir. You too. I'm doing good today. How about you?
Oh, doing just fine. I'm gonna get right into it. We left off last time talking about Jesus be the Savior, and you hear people say it all the time that Jesus saved, and He does. We're not denying that. What we're saying on the air is while we teach the truth and love, we're not trying to offend anyone. Or anything like that, or question one's beliefs. We're simply going by what the Bible says. We're asking, call us and talk about these topics. Can one be saved by Jesus without the gospel? Can one have Jesus or the gospel? Because you hear people all the time saying, you need Jesus in your life. You need Jesus in your life. And we all do. We all agree with that. But can one have Jesus without the gospel? Because, see, it does an injustice to a person to tell them they need Jesus in their life, but then you don't tell them how to get Him in their life. That does them a great injustice. It's like a millionaire telling you the joys of being rich and all the advantages of being rich, but he won't share with you how to get there. So that's kind of in the same context. So we're asking, can one have Jesus in their life without the gospel? Can Jesus save anyone without the gospel? So we're asking that because you hear it all the time. People always talk about Jesus, but you never hear talk about obeying the gospel. So we're asking that if you have an opposing idea or anything you want to share with us, call us. The number is 1-347-850-8256. Brother Brown, you got a comment or question, Brother Brown?
Yes, sir. Just driving through the city today, I saw, you know, I'm a truck driver, and I saw a couple of signs where, you know, ministers, well, they call themselves pastors, and, well, they call themselves bishops, and the woman is a pastor. I just kind of wanted to ask you a comment about that.
Well, according to the Holy Scriptures, not according to Brother Robbins or Brother Parker, according to the Holy Scriptures, a woman cannot be a pastor because she can't. It's impossible scripturally for her to be a husband and one wife. You got to qualify to be a pastor. And a pastor is not a preacher anyway, according to the Holy Scripture. A pastor is not a preacher. I know what men have done through the years. They've taken the books to train the ministers of 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and men begin to call them pastoral epistles. There's nowhere in the Bible. Men did that. And over time, they start calling the preachers pastor, when the Bible never said that. You never find Pastor Jesus, Pastor Paul, Pastor Peter, Pastor, there's nowhere in the Bible. Nowhere. So let's just, the sacred ground won't be changed. It simply speak what the Bible speaks, silent what the Bible is silent. You call Bible things by Bible names and do Bible things by the way. Let's turn to our Bible to see about this. Over here in the book of 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter, and you know, you notice these terms are used synonymously or interchangeably. In 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter and verse 1, the Bible reads, if you go to Paul writing, the Bible reads, this is a true saying, if a man, get this now, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Now, a bishop and a pastor is the same thing. There are six terms used that refer to the same thing. They're used synonymously, interchangeably. Bishop, pastor, elder, presbyter, overseer, and shepherd. These six terms are all the same thing. A pastor is an elder, or he's also called a bishop or a presbyter. That's what a pastor is. A pastor is an elder. And you can't have just one. There has to be a plurality of them, two or more, all according to the Holy Scriptures. Now, verse 2 says, a bishop or pastor or elder or presbyter or overseer or shepherd then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. That knocks out all women right there. And not going by these modern-day fools over here in this country. It's not going by that. The husband of one wife, diligent, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt or able to teach, not given to wine, nor striker, not greedy or quick lucre or a money freak, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, a greedy man, one that rules his own house well, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man knows not how to rule his own house, how should he take care of the church of God? Not a novice or a beginner, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, meaning outside the church, lest he should fall into reproach and a snare of the devil. See, this is what the Bible gives the qualifications for a pastor or a bishop or elder or presbyter or overseer or shepherd, because those terms are used synonymously or interchangeably. They're all the same thing. So a woman cannot be a pastor. I don't care what they do out there in the world. As far as the Bible is concerned, you can't have a woman pastor. And you can't have just one pastor. There has to be a plurality of them, two or more. If you have an opposing idea, call us and let's discuss that. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Brother Brown, did could you question up, Brother Brown?
Yes, sir. We got Brother Park on the line now. I'm going to bring him on in.
Okay, good.
Yes, we need to know that Brother Robbins has just told you, a woman can't be a minister, she can't be a pastor, she can't do nothing. She is not to be leading the man. God created the woman for the man. Ooh-wee! You go to Genesis chapter 1, when God stated that there was nothing in the garden that would be with Adam, so he had to not to be with him as such, but there was nothing to his wanting or needing or whatever. Women, nothing existed in there for him. So God created the woman for the man. And that's it. Ephesians 5:19, he said, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church and the Savior of the body. When marriage happens, the husband is the head, not the woman. Ooh-wee! Now it's gotten so bad now until a man want to be a woman now and a woman want to be a man. Now who's the leader of what? That's going to send us all. It's going to destroy the country if we don't try to straighten up and try right with the Word of God. If you open your Bibles to Psalms 111 and verse 9, he hath sent redemption unto his people. He has kept his covenant forever, holy and reverent is his name. If you go back up to the Psalms 111 and get verse 1, who's the head? Who's the antecedent of the word here. God. Amen. And if we're talking about like he's our reverend, not these little men down here calling themselves my name. Is reverend. I know one guy, I think he passed away some years back. He said, I'm the most right reverend. Now, Lord have mercy. Woo-wee! We getting crazy. That's pathetic. You're the reverend, and people look up to the preacher like he's God. We're just messengers. We preach the word. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Preach it when they lack it. Be instant in season and out of season. The word of God is out of season right now. Folks don't want to hear no word of God. They want to hear something to make them feel good. And they go to church to feel good, not to be taught, not to be preached to, not to do right, but to be with the man who's already nothing but probably a whoremonger in the pulpit. Or he got the first lady, and then he got all of his other ladies, the hoochie mamas everywhere in the church, you know. He's a player, not a pimp, but a player and pimp put together in that priest. He's both of them, playing and pimping. And that's a dirty shame what we got going on up in some of these so-called churches. Biblical churches that should not be there. You go to worship God in spirit and in truth. And the elders there are the leaders. The preacher is the minister, the deacon of the servants. You don't have the foolishness you see in this world. Brother Brown. Hello, Brother Brown, Brother Robin? Yeah.
Brother Robin's here. Yes, sister, talking about women, and don't get me wrong, I am not against women. I've had a mother, 8 sisters, I have a wife and 2 daughters. I'm not against women. I'm about what the Bible says. Here, over here, back over here in 1 Timothy, are you there? In 1
yeah.
Timothy, in 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse number 11, here's what the Bible says. Let the women learn in silence with all subjections. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to give authority over the man, but to be in silence. That's what the Bible says. Now, I'm not about giving you an opinion or my personal feeling. Opinions are like Moses. Everybody have them, and they're all different. We're saying, let's go back to the Bible. What does the Bible say about it? Well, let them read again. In 1 Timothy 2:11, the Bible reads, let the women learn in silence with all subjection. But I think another woman to teach, not to be the body of the man, but to be in silence. I don't see this interaction. Read that and miss it. Because the Bible is too plain and too clear about this. I know we're just living in this country, but you're not going to be judged as an American and the U.S. Constitution. You're not going to be judged by that. We'll all be judged by what the Bible says. So we're still asking people, call us, let's test these things. We're still asking, can one be saved by Jesus without the Bible? Can one be saved by Jesus without the gospel? Please call us. Let's test these things. 1-347-850-8246. Put it down, you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, this is really funny. You know, it was something that came up. Someone had called in, Sister Slayer, someone, I think that's her name. I don't know if she's here now. But she was talking about in Genesis where this man spewed his seed on the ground. He was supposed to go and. Yes, sir.
Yeah, we got a question coming in.
Come on, get that question in then.
Bring it out. Come on.
Yes, I think this is Slay.
Uh-huh.
Yes, ma'am,
go ahead. You're talking about what I asked the question about. In Genesis 38, verses 9 and 10, how the son was supposed to go in there and give his seed to the brother's wife because the brother was dead. And he didn't do it, so he spilled it on the ground and God slew him. Well, in Romans, what's that? In Romans, Romans 1, verse 26, but this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even that women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. Now, man carries the seed. Because everybody on this planet get that DNA from their father. Jesus Christ got his DNA from his father. That's why he was born of a virgin. So I'm asking the question, when men with men and women with women, where is the seed going? Where is it going?
All right. Good.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Thank you for the question. The idea is this. Biologically, women don't carry the seed. Women carry the egg. The male carries the seed. What we're going to do is Jesus our Lord a miraculous birth because it's at the seed of the woman. When biologically, the woman don't carry the seed. The man does. But the point was, over there in Genesis, there was a son of Judah named was Ir and On. Onan. What he did, see, that at that time, the law at that time, it was called primogeniture. And it was called the husband-brother law. You read more detail about it in 25th chapter of Deuteronomy. Well, if a man died having no children to carry his name on, then his brother would go into his widow, and the firstborn son would carry the name on of the husband that died. That was called the husband-brother law. That's under the law of Moses. Now, as far as the thing over here in Romans, that was talking about men and women abusing themselves with mankind and doing things that was against nature. The Bible condemns that, and the Bible calls things like that a reprobate. That means you are rejected of God because you're violating God's law. God already has a law for reproduction. God already has that. But whenever man tries to improve on God's plan, he messed things up. And this is what's going on right now. So this stuff about men with men, women with women, that's against God's law. I don't care how many states adopt it. I don't care how many countries embrace it. I don't care how many families embrace it and go along with it. The Bible still condemns it, and the Bible calls it an abomination. And we're not going to be judged by the Jewish Constitution. We're going to be judged by the Bible, not what the United States Constitution says. We're going to be judged by the Bible. Brother Parker, are you there?
Yes. Yes.
Woo-wee.
That's a hot, hot question. And what she's saying here over, when you go to Genesis and that young man did not, he was to go in and make, create a child with that woman. That seed was to go into her body and fertilize the egg to bring forth a child. The vagina. The vagina is for the cohabitation of a male and a female. His rod is to be put into the vagina, and he must go ahead on and have an ejaculation there, and the seed comes out. Ooh, it's pathetic today. That brings up a good point. Why are people pushing condoms so? Get with a woman and to have sex and then put the life-giving seed in a condom and then throw it in the toilet or in the trash or something like that. Girls having abortions, taking pills to kill that egg so that she can't have no baby. Or even if they do that, go and abort the baby. My God, we're just some messed up people. And we find also in Romans 1 where you went over there, we're embracing that right now in this country as almost exactly as Paul wrote it. Thinking themselves to become wise, we have become fools. God has now turned us over to a reprobated mind. That's a mind that God does not want to have anything to do with it. Now, and then men with men, it started happening, women with women, all of that. And we are passing laws that men can marry men, women can marry women. And now look at the other sins. Read the whole chapter of Romans chapter 1. We find now that sin is outrageous right now. You can't kill better than me. You can't steal better than me. You can't homemonger better than me. You know, somebody killed somebody, somebody going to do it greater than what they did. Look at what the man, somebody did to the family there. Went in and killed, beat and did everything to everybody in that house, burned the house up, and left, burned them up in it. Can't do no better than that. We are falling as a nation because we have embraced sin, and God is not for sin. Now, remember this. Sister Sada, the lady called in, remember this. God has always taken care of his own. What are you talking about, Brother Parker? I'm saying this, is that if you read the Bible, God always spared his believers. Some died, but God spared his believers, and they went and started other great nations and everything. That's why the church is the only institution in which we can be saved from this foolishness out here in the world now. Men have embraced it, and it's getting worse and worse. And we as Christians better get in church, live the life of Christ, walk in the footsteps of Jesus, do his will. Get out of all that wickedness that's on the earth. Brother Robin.
Yes, and for those people out there who take the same position as the people out there in Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, people today, when you tell them it's wrong to be homosexual or to be gay or lesbian, the first thing they yell is, you can't judge me, you can't judge me. People are using all that. In every case that was sin involved, they will holler, you can't be my judge, let God be my judge. Let me tell you something. That's the same mentality they had back there in Sodom and Gomorrah years ago. You know, the wise man says, in Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9, the wise man says this, the thing that has been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. So that stuff is not new. It's been going on. Over here in Genesis, when those men want to have sex with some angels, Lot, Abraham's nephew, he offered them his own daughters and said, these are virgins, unknown to man. I'll bring them out unto you. Do whatever you want to them, but to these men, do nothing because they came under the shadow of my roof. Here's what they told him. In the 19th chapter of Genesis, in verse 9, the Bible says, and they said, stand back. And they said again, this one fellow came into sojourning, meaning you are a visitor, came into sojourn. And he will need be a judge to see the very same principle. He can't judge us. And now we will deal worse with thee than with them. See what I mean? It's the very same principle. He tried to warn them against doing all these wicked things. And they say, you're all this pastor. You can't really pass it. Now you're going to be a judge. You can't judge us. It's the very same thing. The Bible condemns that. Said before, I say now again, I don't care how many things adopt it, I don't care how many families embrace it, and I don't care how many people condone it, the Bible still condemns it. The Bible condemns it. Now, you can say all you want to about how much you believe in God. No, you don't, because you don't believe what God said. That's what I want to say too, while we go on that way. It's not about just believing in God. You believe God. Because when God says something, he means it. The Bible also tells us in Hebrews 12:29 that our God in consuming fire. What does that mean, Brother Robbins? Well, just like God, people always say, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. And that's true. But you look at it only on one side, because God is as severe as he is good. When God says something, he means it. He is as severe as fire. God is good as gold, if you want to say that, and he's as severe as fire. Just like fire will cook you a meal, that same fire will cook you. When God says something, he means it. He means what he says. So it's not about just believing in God. Do you believe God? Do you believe what God said? Apparently, those folks who are doing these things, they don't. Because, see, the word believe is an old Anglo-Saxon word. It comes from the word believe. Belief. If you believe something, you will believe it or live by it. See, if you believe it, you'll live by it. So if you believe what God says, you live by God's word. If you believe in it, but if you don't believe it, you not live by it. And this stuff about folks saying they're born that way, born gay, and born, no, you were not. You're the wrong body. No. God knew what he was doing. He put in a nature in motion way back there in Genesis. Male and female cohabitating to reproduce. So why is it so alarming to you, or is it a big secret to you, that two males can't produce anything, and two females can't produce anything in humans? Two males cannot produce it, but a mess, and two females.
Amen.
It takes male and female, because that's God's law. And what the gays want to do, they want to get around that by adopting children. That's like they love them so much. And then poison their mind with that same foolishness. And Jesus, our Lord, said, people who do that stuff to children and mislead children, he said, it is best that a millstone be tied around their neck and they cast it by the sea, in the midst of the sea. Because something's going to happen to you because you're misleading children like that. Brother Parker, you there?
Yes. Woo-wee. Thank you, Doc. You know, when you think about it, let's just drop it like it's hot now. You see the sinful wickedness in two men wanting to encounter in sex and call themselves, one call himself a woman and everything. See, the woman, you know, if you, all of you that have been to school, you're listening, and you learn that real young, and some of kids learn it younger than that by buying the most nasty sex books and everything out there. They know that a woman has a vagina, which is the life hole. She also have another hole, which is the rectum hole, which is the death hole. You see, we eat, men eat, we don't have but one hole like that. That's the death hole. And all we do is put the dirt out of our body we call manure. Now here's another man and fell in love with another man's manure and his butthole. What in the world is this foolishness about? And women, listen, the game, the danger is not the women. No. See, women be playing with themselves. They go get men's things, and they start playing with each other's vagina and sticking stuff in it and licking it and carrying on. I got a book, Tim LaHaye. We'll talk. Tim LaHaye explained this back in 1978 with his book that he wrote and released then called Those Unhappy Gays. And they'd be doing that and call. But a woman can step out of a lesbian relationship, go get married and have children. But a man, listen, here's the danger. Here's your danger. A man mess around there, get to fooling with another man, and he's sticking him up in his rectum. When he hit that rectum right, there's a nerve that's close to his prostate gland. He hits that nerve, and this man he has a climax while the man's sticking him in his hole, his rectum. And from that day on, he can't act right. He gets that effeminacy in him, that womanish kind of food in him. I don't care how big, he could be 6'9" and 275 pounds, but he starts swinging and wanting to act and be a woman, and he's always looking for another man to do the same thing. And we're talking about the life seed. Good thing you brought that out in Genesis 38, how important it is. When Eve and Adam sinned in the garden, the Bible tells us that they were both naked. They didn't know that. They began to see. See, when the sin started, it started when a man and a woman found out about that. And then they were procreated differently than they would have procreated in the beginning. He said, now you're going to have pain when you have children. Told the man, you got to go to work now and at that ground and work. You see, this brought it in. Now we see what he's talking about. And now people are embracing the wickedness of illegal sin. Men under the law, if you uncovered a woman's nakedness, she was your wife and responsibility. Now, Jesus came in Matthew and said from the beginning it was not so, which is right. That's why they had a head wife. She was over all the other wives. If you had 500 of them, she was the head wife. And they all agreed on the women that were coming into the arena with them. And they wasn't running after other men. They had men that watched them and took care of them that had been castrated and everything, had genitalia removed. So the king knew, and they would wait in line to go to bed with the man and hope that they can procreate and have children. You're listening on the phone. How many of us know that we're not any of the descendants of Solomon? Of brother David and Solomon. How do we know? All of the wives they had, all of the children that they brought into this earth. Listen, we better wake up, young men and young women. You out there trying to do illicit sex, and every time you have sex with them, it's your responsibility. And girls, learn how to do like mama said do. Live right. Don't be sleeping up in the hotels, motels, Holiday Inns, back of seats of cars, in the weeds, in the woods, under the house. Get right. Get right. That's a magnificent question she went back and got. That seed now. And they're making billions of dollars selling condoms. Billions of dollars of giving girls pills that would kill the egg and stuff like that. Do you think that God is pleased with that? He said, be fruitful, multiply the earth, replenish it, and subdue it. Well, we don't know about the replenishing side, do we? We can get one of these big storms or starvation or something, kill a whole lot, kill almost everybody in the country. That happened in time past. And God knows. And he's going to stop the foolishness that's going on in America real soon, because we're coming near the end of all of this foolishness. See what money and success will do? We don't care nothing about no God. Don't want to pray. People giving God the thanks, the praise, and everything else, saying the allegiance in school and let the kids pray in school and everything else. Now they cut it out. You don't even have to be a Christian. You don't have to believe in God. We're a strong nation. We're a bunch of fools. And we better recognize it. Brother Robert.
Yeah, the number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Yes, and you know, we can't worry about certain city officials who want to take our notes and see them. All I got to tell you the Bible. What we can just find right here in the Bible. Or be in the Bible right down there. What's the our notes? It's the Bible. All that's all we use. We don't use anything else. So you want notes? Open the Bible up. The 19th chapter of Genesis, read it. It's right there. Romans chapter 1, read it. It's right there. That's our notes. So you will find those things out. But getting back to the context of the lesson, we're talking about salvation. Whereas what's taught out there on the streets and the denominational world, and he don't read your ways, let's go to the Bible and examine it and see if they're teaching it correctly. Because I still have never found in the Bible what anybody was ever told to accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I can't find that anywhere in Scripture. Now, maybe I missed it, because I've been a minister for 33 years now, and maybe I missed it, or something I didn't get taught properly. So if you know where that's found, please call us and inform us where it's from. Brother Punk, you ever read it in the Bible?
I've never read it in the Bible, and I've been preaching it 57 years. From first lesson with the Ark and the Church of the Bible and the plan of salvation every time we preach. What are you talking about? Any Church of Christ minister that stands up or any biblical preacher that preaches, he got to be in the church there, the one that's in the Bible. He has to tell them to hear the word, Acts 15:7. Believe the word, Hebrews 11:6. Repent of his sins, Luke 13:3. Confess Christ to be the Son of God, Matthew 10:32. And be buried in the watery grave of baptism for the remission, for the washing away of all of his past sins. I'm going to tell you, that is a true fact. I was running a gospel meeting some years back over in Beaumont. I baptized over 200 people there. One guy got in there. I came to baptize that night. The church just packed every night. We went for a one-week meeting, and I'm standing down there 2 weeks. Ooh-wee! But this is the first time, and I'm glad it happened, and I see now what John 3 was talking about. I took his confession and everything, got down in the water. It was about 20 degrees. We had a cold weather down there, and that was strange. We had cold weather. The water was cold. He was trembling. And I took his confession and baptized him, put him down in the water, brought him up out of the water. He cussed. He said, "Ooh, it's that water is cold." Everybody in the church heard him. I had to stand there and let him tremble while I preached to him again and told him, "You went down a dry devil. Now you rising up a wet devil. You didn't leave your sins in that water. You brought them up out of the water." So, hey, you know, water is essential because God does a miraculous thing. That's when you become a child of God. You are born afresh. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. And these devilish preachers, they're the devil, that's who they are. They're working for Satan. Stand up there telling you, just accept him in your heart. Now give like you're supposed to give. I heard one girl on television say, "All you got to do is just call in and send me $35 or more and just accept them in your heart." I said, "Look at these people. It's all about the money. Corporate Christianity, which is tearing us down as a nation." God has blessed me. I've been around the world known in 52 foreign countries. And the CIA had to come get me out of one country. They let me speak. It's about 30,000 people around there. But when I finished speaking, they could speak English there. When I finished with the gospel, they had to throw some kind of covering over me, my body, snatch me off the stage and throw me in the back of a van with no windows or nothing in it. I don't know where I went to this day. Flew back, not with any of the other ministers to this day. I don't know that. That happened twice to me. So you got to preach the word. Stop fooling people trying to take them for their money and stuff and make them feel good. We got to stop that. We got to stop. Wake up. Even in some of our churches of Christ, they want to boom bang and carry on now. You better stop that boom bang and everything. The church is not a nightclub. You don't come there to feel good. You just left the club that night. Most of the people, a lot of people, just left the club from the hotel, motel, Holiday Inn, commit adultery and fornication, and then they want to come up in there because they done so much sin the day before. They come in there, they want to feel good. They don't want that preacher cutting them with that rod. The Bible is a two-edged sword, and the preacher's so messed up in there many times, he's been doing so much foolishness and sins himself, it's going to cut him. So he's happy. He's just going to make them feel good. And that's what he does. Brother Robin.
Yes. What we're saying is, let's just go back to the Bible and see what it says. Please, we encourage you to please call, and we speak the truth in love. We're not trying we're not trying to bash anyone, not trying to humiliate anyone, not trying to embarrass anyone or make light of one religious beliefs. We're saying let's go to the Bible and see what it says, because I have yet to find in the scripture where anybody was told to simply accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior to find for salvation. I just can't find that in scripture anywhere. So if you know where it is, call us. Let us know where it is. I can't find it. I'll be the first to admit I can't find that anywhere in scripture. I'm not saying I know all scripture. I'm just saying I can't find that concept or even that statement anywhere in scripture. So if you know where it is, please call us and tell us where that's found so we can read for ourselves. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256, because I can't find anywhere in the Bible where anyone was ever told to simply accept Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior to be saved. I can't find it. If you know where it is, please call us and let us know. But we're still asking, will Jesus save anyone without the gospel? And let's go even deeper. Will Jesus, our Lord, save anybody who will not obey him? There's another concept. Will Jesus, our Lord, save anybody who will not obey him? Because the Bible says over here in Hebrews, the 5th chapter, let's go ahead and read that. In the 5th chapter of Hebrews and verse number 8, the Bible reads, though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. So the question is, if he will save those who obey him, will he still save those who will not obey him? Think about it. Will Jesus our Lord save those who will, especially those who refuse to obey him? The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Thank you very much.
Yeah, we have Brother Parker on the line.
Go ahead.
You know, can you hear me?
Yeah.
All right. Thank you, Brother Brown. You know, my wife and I were traveling out of town, at one point we needed to stop and ask somebody for some directions. You know, and I appreciate the comments and the insight that Brother Parker and Brother Robbins had offered, you know, because it's important, and I believe that it shows the listening audience something. And what it shows them is this, and I hope you listen closely to what I'm about to say. So we asked for directions. The important part is that it was important for us to ask directions of somebody who had been before. Yeah, it wouldn't make much sense asking somebody who had never been to where we was trying to go. See, so we had to ask somebody who had been before. In other words, somebody who knew the way. Now, it's important for mankind when it comes to our soul salvation. Our destination is heaven. And if you want to try to get to heaven, you better ask somebody who's been before. Ain't nobody been except for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, see? And he left directions to follow. And those directions is in the roadmap of life, and that's the Holy Bible. So what happened is that too many people today are getting their directions from somebody who never been, their so-called pastor, so-called reverend, so-called bishop, and all these other folks that standing in pulpits ripping people. If you really had a trust the direction of that Jesus, because he's the only one that's been, and he left heaven, he came to earth, and he's going back there. And if we want to get to where he is, we better listen to his instructions and quit following every other way Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And you know, the young lady, some Sister Slay, I think that's what they say her name. She was calling from Genesis 38. That is a very powerful question that she asked. And the answer, when you just think of it in everyday terms, the seed on the earth is to keep the earth multiplied. And the only way, the only way you can multiply is a male and a woman having sex together without any kinds of coverings of any kind, pills of any kind, naturally. And listen, it's so bad now we got all kinds of foolishness. It's an accepted thing, as in Romans chapter 1 and about the last two verses. What's happening to us now in America is that they are trying to get everybody to accept sexuality by saying that they have a right. And what hurt me so bad, I got a chance to do some marches and demonstrations when we as black people couldn't drink water at the fountain, or couldn't go in the same bathroom, couldn't eat in restaurants, couldn't sleep in hotels, motels, when racism was terrible. This foolishness of homosexuality has nothing to do with freedom. God freed you when he brought you here. You was a male or a female. Don't bring that foolishness. And listen, believers, don't embrace that. Don't embrace that, because that's what's going to save you. Live right. You do not agree with no same-sex marriages or nothing like that. And know this, that's one of the worst things. Look, if the way I'm going to say it now, it'll make you think about it. God didn't want us to go, men to be having sex with men in their booty hole. That didn't sound bad. Well, he said booty, he said. You know, look, whatever you want to call it, I've heard it worse than that. Woo-hoo! In the garbage hole, God wanted us to procreate. Love the woman, love thy wife. Live like a Christian. Produce and bring kids into this earth that you take care of, and a family that you take care of. That's what he's talking about. And obey the gospel, not but one. Read your Bible. Go to Acts chapter 2. When those people said in 37 and 38, what must we do after they heard the gospel sermon that Peter preached, the first gospel sermon? The disciples said, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, no, come forward and just receive in your heart. He said, you just stop doing all your wickedness and obey the word of God and be buried in the watery grave of baptism. Brother Robbins.
Yeah, for those who say that, you know, Brother Robbins, you come off kind of harsh, and your sayings are hard, and you seem overbearing, and you seem arrogant, and all that kind of thing. Well, okay, I've been called those things before, but I'm telling you, we're teaching the truth in love. Just because I may say it in a convincing kind of a way, and I'm convicted to say those things, does not mean I don't have any love, because they did the same thing to Jesus our Lord. They were saying your statements are too harsh. In the sixth chapter of John, when he told me you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, he said, this is a hard statement. Who can receive it? And the Bible says in John, the sixth chapter, at verse 66, the Bible says, from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. But you don't read in here where Jesus our Lord turned and said, no, y'all come back. Y'all come back. I'll change it. I ain't going to be so hard. I ain't going to be rude. No, he didn't say that. He turned to the 12. The hand told the 12 he picked and said, will you also go away? You want to go too? And Peter said, Lord, where can we go? You have the word of eternal life. Now, Peter was always impetuous and impulsive and all that, but this time he was right. This time he was right. Lord, But let me go. I don't see Jesus retracting any statement. I don't see Jesus, our Lord, taking any, retracting any remarks he made. When he told him, what you said offended the Pharisees, he said, leave them alone, because they are blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, they're both fall in the ditch. So he didn't rather retract his statement or say, well, I'll change my doctrine. He said, you want to be my disciple? This is it. We're going to be going down this kind of road. It's going to be this kind of lifestyle. But I don't see him saying, no, y'all come on back. I'll change it. I won't be so hard. I'll change my ways. I'll change my doctrine. I don't hear that. He made it even stronger. If you're going to be my disciple, this is how it's going to be. These are the terms. That is how it is. So, but today, we live in a society where everybody wants to soft soap the gospel, soft soap it and water it down, make everybody feel good, make everybody jump and dance and sing and all kinds of things. It wasn't about that at all. But that's the kind of society we live in, when everybody be happy, you know, when everybody be happy and not offend anybody, don't say anything to the left. Also, everybody be neutral on everything. Don't stand for anything. Just be neutral on everything. And while I'm born that way, this gay rights stuff or gay rights movement, you cannot equate that with civil rights because you were born with civil rights. You weren't born gay or lesbian. No, you already had those rights of being civil of being born. But this stuff here, that's just nothing but a farce. To try to give everybody a guilt trip, we reject that stuff. The Bible condemns it. I don't care how many states adopt it. I don't care how many families embrace it. And I don't care how many celebrities endorse it. The Bible still condemns it. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Thank you very much. Brother Parker.
Yes, one of the
Good, Brother Parker. Go ahead, Brother Parker.
Yes, no, I was just going to mention, you know, one of the things about, pants, you know, for example, I had to get some pants hemmed. You know, what happened is that when the pants didn't fit me, I had to take them hemmed or modified so that way they could fit me. See, a lot of people treat the Word of God as if it were a pair of pants. Instead of changing themselves, they would rather change the Word of God to fit them as opposed to changing themselves to fit the Word of God. So that's what we need to do. Stop changing the Word of God. The Word of God is perfect, sharper than any two-edged sword. So the Word of God is not up to us to change. We need to change ourselves in order to fit the Word of God. So the question that I like to present, and Brother Parker, Brother Robbins, you know, y'all could address this. This is the 21st century. Should the Word of God change in order to keep up with the world, to keep up with the 21st century?
Well,
no.
The Bible says this. In Ecclesiastes chapter 1 and verse 9 and verse 10, the Bible says this. The wise man says, the thing that hath been is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun. Is there anything whereof it could be said to see this is new and was done by them before time? In other words, the game haven't changed on the players. And while I'm going that way, we haven't had any new dispatch from heaven telling us that the Word of God been changed. The Bible is still says the same thing it always says. Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, and forever. The Word of God endures forever. If we want to get things right, we got to change ourselves, not try to change the Bible to fit us. It's the other way around.
Right. And one thing the Bible says that really should be in our hearts now, the love of money is the root of all evil. What is happening to us now is because of the success of this country. At one time, probably the most powerful country on earth. We got the money and the gold and good jobs and big houses, and we organized. But we praised God all the way. But once people get them stuff and some things, they don't care nothing too much about God and nobody else. They get like the rich man was. The rich man sat at his gate while Lazarus was begging for the crumbs that fell from his table. And the dogs licked worms off of him. They licked them. They took care of him. Now look here. You look at us today. We came here, and I'm talking about black, white, purple, whatever color you are. Came here and didn't have nothing. Now, if you look around, you got the expensive neighborhoods where people bought all these big, beautiful homes and then these big, beautiful cars and everything. And some of them, you can't say nothing to them because they love their stuff. And if you scratch my car, I'm going to beat your brains out. Don't you mess with my stuff. You wasted something on my suit, and you get the pipe I've been carrying on. What in the world is wrong? That's the love of money is the root of all evil. And when you got love, look how they spend it and go on. I just can't buy enough. I got to spend it and everything. It's nothing wrong with spending money, but don't get evil. You got to keep Christ in you. Get rich, but don't get evil. Keep studying the word of God. Become a member of the body of Christ. See, we don't understand that. That's what it is. When you look at it, every great nation that was successful like this nation is, they basically embraced the same foolishness. I think Rome lasted longer than anybody else. And we've lasted pretty good, as a matter of fact, over 500 years. I don't know that I used to keep up with it, but we've been here for quite a while. But now we're getting... We're turning. We're at the peak of the mountain, and we're going down slowly. And if you study the history of all the major countries, biblically, they failed because of their sins and wickedness. And we now don't even believe in the Bible. We think we're so wise we forgot and don't care about the Bible. Exactly as Paul said, thinking themselves to become wise, they became fools, professing themselves. Verse 23 of Romans 1. And just read it and see what we're doing. The same foolishness. Wake up! Wake up! Christians, stand up! Go to church on time like you're supposed to do. Live like you're supposed to do. Preachers, keep preaching like you're supposed to do. And if you're in the church and not preaching, set yourself down somewhere. Because you're just destroying yourself and the church. You're going to be accountable for people going to hell because of the hell you're doing and the lying and everything else you're doing. You're taking people to hell with you. Brother Robin.
Yes, we are just about out of time. I want you to know we want our callers, so please call us and let's discuss these things so everybody get a chance to hear what the Bible says. We will not give you our opinions or our personal feelings. We'll only give you what the Bible says. Call us. The number to call is 1-347-850-8256. Once again, 1-347-850-8256 for your Bible answers if you have Bible questions. We would like to give you our opinion. This broadcast is sponsored by the Church of Christ in Brookshire, while I serve as local minister, also in cooperation with the Darren Luke Congregation, Reverend Lewis Parker Ford, who is the local minister, and our panel guests is Brother Lewis Parker Jr., Brother Lewis Parker IV, and myself, Brother H. Robbins. Tune in on next Thursday at 7:30. May God bless you, and may God keep you. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.